Thank you for joining Mechon Hadar's learning of Pirkei Avot in honor of our 10th year celebration.
This week's Dvar Torah is by Dina Weiss.
This week's Mishnayot are Pirkei, Mishnayot Tet Zayin through Yotet, Chapter 5, Mishnayot 16 through 19. We are done with Numbers. Kol ahava shehi tluya bedavar. And we're turning to love. Any love that is dependent on something, right? We talk about unconditional love. This is specifically conditional love. Batel davar, batela ahava. Once the thing is gone, then the love is gone. Vishe'ena tluya bedavar. But if we're talking about love that is unconditional, that is not dependent on a thing, ena batela lo'olam, then it is never gone. It's never extinguished. Ezohi ahava hatuliya b'davar. And what is an example? Who do we know that had this kind of love that was dependent on something? Zo ahavat Amnon v'Tamar. This is the love between Amnon and Tamar. Amnon and Tamar were David's progeny, and Amnon ended up raping his half-sister Tamar. And once he does that, he hates her. He's enamored with her, and then once he has his way with her, he hates her. So that is an example of ahava tuliya b'davar. The love was dependent on something, and here it seems like the love was dependent on the desire to have someone that you can't have. And then it's done. And then the love disappears. V'she'ena tuliya b'davar, and what is an example of love that is not dependent on anything? Zo ahava David v'Yehonatan. This is the love between David himself and Yehonatan, who is the son of Shaul, these two men who loved each other very deeply. We continue with Mishnah Yod Zayin, continuing the theme of abstract things that either are able to be sustained or not sustained. So in Mishnah Tet Zayin, we talked about love, and in Mishnah Yod Zayin, we're talking about conflict. Ko machloket shehi l'shem shamayim, any disagreement that is for the sake of heaven, sofa lihitkayim, is going to end up standing in the end. It's going to be a real grounded disagreement. V'she'ena l'shem shamayim, and a disagreement that is not for the sake of heaven, ein sofa lihitkayim, will not end up lasting. Ezohi machloket shehi l'shem shamayim, what is an example of a disagreement that is for the sake of heaven? Zo machloket Hillel v'shamay, that is the disagreement between Hillel and Shammai. Hillel and Shammai really were disagreeing on principle. And in fact, we're good friends, right? And the different schools of Hillel and Shammai were careful to make sure that they could still eat in each other's houses, could still marry each other. That's Hillel and Shammai. On the other hand, v'she'ena l'shem shamayim, a disagreement that's not for the sake of heaven, zo machloket Korach v'chol adato. That is the disagreement that Korach and all of his posse had. Korach was fighting with Moshe, who was his cousin, pretending that his desire to take power was purely about principle. He's this great Democrat. He wants to give all of us access to leadership. But really, Korach was misrepresenting. It wasn't about the principle. It was about him. So we have Hillel and Shammai, where it's not personal. It's really about the principle. And we have Korach, where he claims that it's about the principle, but actually it's personal, and actually, it's selfish. We're continuing with Mishnah Yurchet. Kol ha-mezaket ha-rabim, anyone who brings merit to the many, ein chet ba-ayado, sin is not going to come by his hand. V'chol ha-machatiyat ha-rabim, and anybody who causes the many to sin, ein masbikin bi-ado la-sot tshuva, that person is not going to have the opportunity to repent. Moshe zacha vizikat harabim. Moshe was meritorious and he enabled other people to have merit. Right, and the reason why this Mishnah is coming on the heels of the previous Mishnah is because we had Korach attacking Moshe. And so in the following Mishnah, we talk about how great Moshe is. So Moshe zacha vizikat harabim. Moshe was meritorious and he made others meritorious. Zechut harabim tluya bo. So therefore, the merit of all of these people is hung on him. He gets credit for all of this hard work. Shene'emar, as it says, in Dvarim, Titkat Adonai Asa U'mishpatav im Yisrael. He did the righteousness of God and the judgments with Israel. Right? So whatever justice Israel is doing, Moshe gets counted along with them. Yeravam, on the other hand, one of the famously evil kings in the book of Malachim, Chata v'hechati et harabim. He sinned, and he caused other people to sin along with him. Chet harabim taloi bo. And therefore, the sin of the many is considered to be on his account, is hung on him. Shene'emar, as it says about Yeravam in Malachim Aleph, al chatot Yeravam, on account of the sins of Yeravam, asher chata, that he sinned, va'asher hechati et Yisrael, and that he caused Israel to sin. Mishnah Yotet, the last Mishnah of this week, we are going to be contrasting the students of Avraham Avinu and the students of Bilam, this non-Jewish prophet who tried to curse the Jews. Kol mi sheyesh biyado shlosha dvarim halalu, anyone who has in his hand these three things, we know mitamidav shel Avraham Avinu, that person is of the students of Avraham. Ushlosha dvarim acherim, but anyone who has these other three character traits, mitamidav shel Bilam harasha, they are of the students of evil Bilam. And Avraham and Bilam are compared to each other in this Mishnah because there are a lot of textual hints that compare Bilam and Avraham. The most salient of which is that Avraham, on the morning of the Akedah, it says, Vayashkim Avraham baboker. Avram gets up early in the morning and he saddles his donkey. And about Bilam, it also says when he's getting ready to curse Bnei Israel, Vayashkim Bilam baboker, that Bilam gets up early in the morning and Bilam saddles his donkey. And also we know that it says, also we know that God says to Avraham that he is going to be the source of blessing for other people. V'nivrchu b'cha kol mishpachot adama, all of the nations of the world, all the families of the world are going to be blessed through you. And also that anyone who blesses Avraham is going to be blessed, and anyone who curses Avraham is going to be cursed. And we see Bilam as trying to kind of undo the promise of Avraham's blessedness by trying to curse Bnei Israel, who should be fundamentally blessed. And so here are the three characteristics of Avraham. Avraham has ayin tova. Avraham has a generous eye, veruach nemucha, and a low spirit, v'nefesh shvala, and a humble attitude. Anyone who has these three components, they are mitamidav shel Avraham. Ayin ra'a, but what if you're stingy? Veruach gava, what if you're haughty? V'nefesh chava, what if you're greedy? Mitamidav shel Bilam harasha. Then you are of the students of evil Bilam. Ma mitamidav shel Avraham Avinu, l'tamidav shel Bilam harasha. What is the difference between these two classes of students, between the students of Avraham and the students of Bilam? And what we mean here is, okay, one of them is stingy and one of them is generous, one of them is humble, one of them is haughty, who cares? What do I get for being a student of Avraham? So here we know. Tamidav shel Avraham Avinu, ochlin ba'olam hazeh, v'nochalin ba'olam haba. The students of our father Avraham, they get to eat in this world and get to inherit in the world to come. Shene'emar, as it says in Mishlei, lehanchil ohavai yesh, to give an inheritance of something, of yesh, to those who love me, v'yotzroteyam amale, and I will fill their storehouses. And Avraham is often referred to as, without any other descriptor, as ohev, as one who loves God. Aval, but tamidav shel Bilam harasha, but the students of the evil Bilam, yorshin gehonam v'yardin lever shachat. They also have an inheritance, but that inheritance is hell. They inherit gehinom, and they go down to a pit of destruction. Shene'emar, as it says in Tehillim, v'yata Elohim toridim lever shachat. God, you should bring down these people to this pit of destruction. Anshei damim u'mirma, these people of blood and of deceit, lo yechatu yemehem, they shouldn't reach even half of their years, v'ani avtach bach, and I will trust in you. Mishnah Tet Zayin, in Mishnah 16, we have a really interesting exploration of love. That there's two different types of love according to this Mishnah. Conditional love, which fades, and unconditional love, which lasts. And the example of the Ahava Tluya B'davar, the example of the love that is dependent on something, is this kind of illicit love between Amnon and Tamar, where after Amnon takes Tamar, he doesn't want to have anything to do with her. And what's fascinating is that the example of the love that is not Tluya B'davar, the example of the love which is not dependent on something, is also a type of forbidden love, either because David and Yonatan were homosexually interested in one another, and therefore, according to their interpretation of the Torah, it would be forbidden for them to consummate this love, or on a more basic level, it could be that David and Yonatan just wanted to pursue a loyal friendship, but couldn't because they were on the opposite sides of the political fence. They just couldn't really love each other in a way that friends would do. And there's something very interesting to me about this very subtle difference between the love of Yehonatan and David and the love of Amnon and Tamar, because both of these are impossible loves. So why is it that the impossible love of Amnon and Tamar is our paradigm of a terrible love? And the impossible love of Yehonatan and David is the sort of beautiful, paradigmatic love of unconditional love that's going to last forever. I think in order to understand this, we need to look a little bit more closely at what actually characterizes the love of Yehonatan and David. Because just like the love of Amnon and Tamar was imbalanced, that Amnon really wanted Tamar, and Tamar was less interested, so too, if you look at the psukim that describe the love between Yehonatan and David, actually their love is also imbalanced. It says in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yurchet, Pasuk Aleph, V'nefesh Yehonatan nikshara b'nefesh David, that the soul of Yehonatan was bound with the soul of David, V'ya'avehu Yehonatan k'nafsho, and Yehonatan loved David like his own self. So it doesn't seem that David and Yehonatan loved each other. It seems that Yehonatan really, really loved David. And I think that what the love of Yehonatan for David is that it's a love for David even though the love is not requited and even though the love is not possible. Whereas with Amnon and Tamar, the reason why Amnon loves Tamar is because the love is forbidden and the love is impossible. So the slight difference is that Amnon loves Tamar because he can't have her. And since the only thing that he really loves about her is that he can't have her, once he gets her, he doesn't love her anymore. But Yehonatan loves David despite the fact that he can't have him. If he were to get David, if he were to be able to be in whatever type of relationship he is seeking with David, that would be the goal. And he would be happy and he would be satisfied. He doesn't love David because it's impossible. He loves David despite the fact that it's impossible. And we all have different relationships in our lives that come with challenge. And I think that this Mishnah forces us to look closely and ask ourselves, do we love people that don't treat us well? Do we love people who don't love us in return because that's a safe place for us to keep our love? Because we're actually trying to avoid really sustaining, really difficult relationships that require us to open ourselves, to be vulnerable, and therefore it's easy for us to love someone who doesn't love us back because we'll never have to be in a relationship with them. Or are we seeking really meaningful, really challenging relationships and pursuing the people that we care about despite the fact that sometimes there's a distance, sometimes there's a barrier, sometimes there's no promise that that love is ever going to be fulfilled. And so we have in our Mishnah two loves that seem to be so similar, but actually are so different. One of them, the love because I can't have you, is a love that actually isn't love, It's a love that's trying to escape love. It's a love that's trying to escape commitment. It's a love that once it's achieved, you'll run away from. And then there's this second type of love, the love of David and Yonatan that seems impossible, but is so pure that despite the difficulties, it's able to persist in whatever way that it does and is able to be sustaining even though it's very challenging. Next week's Mishnayot are Mishnayot Chaf through Chaf Gemal, Mishnayot 20 through 23.
For more opportunities to be involved in our 10th year celebration, please visit mechonhadar.org/siyum. Join us on Thursday, March 2nd for our Siyum celebration and be a part of our first ever National Shabbaton from March 3rd through 5th, 2017.